You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Stands back here. Rome, what day is it? My guy right there. Thank you so much for having us. We're honored and humbled that Sean asked us to do this. And as a man, as a husband, I struggled when I do things by myself. So I asked my beautiful wife to. But I want to thank Sean Holgren and just the chapel committee and the worship teams, you know, just for feeding us spiritually each week. As a staff, we sit here on Monday. And listen to, we've had some phenomenal speakers and messages and sermons, and it's been great for our staff, for myself personally. And a couple years ago, during the pandemic, we had Zoom meetings with former men's basketball players. And to encourage you all, you know, Bethel students in your time here at Bethel, the number one regret amongst all the former players during their time here at Bethel, the overwhelming majority was just being more engaged and just their spiritual life here at Bethel, from chapel to Bible studies. And just to encourage you all to, during your time here, such a special time, short window, to engage, to connect, you know, to help your fellow brothers and sisters grow in that area. I'm a big trivia guy. Our players can tell you that with summer camps. And so we've got three t-shirts here. I've got three chapel trivia questions. Okay, the first one should be easy. Okay, these are three larges, so if you're not a large, just come back, come see us up in the Y camp, and we can get you, you know, your size. So first chapel question, this one should be easy. Okay, on our men's basketball team, who is a part of the worship team here? Okay, go you. Right, I'll go right there. You got to raise your hand. Romeo, okay, you got it. Come get your t-shirts. Too far for me to throw. Yeah, come get it. That's great. All right, second question. This one's a little harder. 2 weeks ago, a guy by the name of Jake Bland gave a great message. What book in the Bible did he speak on? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Anybody? Okay. Okay, all right. Yeah, one. Yeah, that's right. All right. One of the four Gospels. Anybody raise your hand and guess? Let's go there. Got it. I'm going to throw this one. All right, not bad. All right, last one's probably a difficult one. It's Dr. Theo in the house. Is Dr. Theo in the house? He said he was coming. Okay. Dr. Theo, I have to get him. So in the fall, Dr. Theo spoke up here, okay, and he spoke on a unique name, unique character in the Bible. Who was that guy? It's the toughest one. Sean got it this morning. Okay. This is a guy who fell out of a second-story window. Boom, right there. Eutychus, I'm going to try to throw this to you. All right. All right, great job. Okay, if I can have my first weekend at Belmont University as a freshman, welcome weekend, we had a guy by the name of Scott Oldsfall. They called him Coach O. He was assistant women's basketball coach at the time. He gave a chapel talk, and I've always wanted to do this if I ever had an opportunity to do a chapel talk. So if everybody could stand up, everybody could stand up for just 30 seconds here. This kind of gave me great confidence in my faith and in who I am in Christ, and I'm made in his image. And so just wanted to give you guys that same confidence. So repeat after me, please. I am who I am because God made me, and he don't make no mistakes. One more time. I am who I am because God made me, and he don't make no mistakes. All right, you can be seated. So Jake Bland, 2 weeks ago, he mentioned that God loves you just because you exist. I love that. And again, when I say that to myself, I'll say that to myself at times when I'm feeling down and sad and things aren't going, you know, my way or whatever, because God loves me. And you know, I have that confidence that I have that joy in him and what he's done for me. So I thought that was something I've always wanted to do. So I'm going to turn it over to my wife. Again, grateful to be able to share our stories here. My wife's got a great story, and take it away, Britt.
Okay. So today we were asked to talk about how God's grace has worked in our life. So I was going to tell a little bit about my background, upbringing, and how I've seen God's grace work throughout my life and up till now. I was raised in a Christian home, went to church every Sunday, and that's about where it stopped, though. You know, during the week, it was my dad had a lot of expectations, perfection being one of them. Not a whole lot of grace shown in our house, and especially with me in basketball. Steve and I have that similar aspect in our life, but I played at an early age and really enjoyed it, and it soon became my identity, and my dad expected perfection in all areas of it, and little grace was given in that. We talked about Jesus in our home, we talked about it at church, but the grace piece was definitely missing in our home and in that story. I was involved in youth group in my church, and so we went to a CIY event when I was 16, and that was when I had accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I was baptized the following Sunday, and my pastor had talked to me about the grace of Jesus, and I was able to learn that and see that in my life a little bit more, but again, it wasn't carried over into my home, and so that was a little bit difficult for me to grasp. Getting ready for college, the recruiting process, my junior year, there were several schools recruiting me to play basketball, Kent State, Xavier, Auburn, and then I had a knee injury. And a lot of those schools backed off. And so that was pretty devastating for me, again, because that's where my identity lied, was basketball. And so to have that kind of stripped away, I was kind of like, who am I? And so then I was able to go to a showcase. Belmont was able to see me there. They offered me, and then that's where I landed. And so that was the first piece where I see God's grace in his hand, is that injury taking away what I was having my identity in and him guiding me in my path, because eventually Belmont is where I would find my husband, and it was a Christian university where I could be poured into, and the other schools that I was looking at didn't have that aspect. So going into my freshman year, playing in AAU tournament nationals, and I tore my ACL. So I was going into my freshman year, kind of just doing rehab, got a little late start to that year. And again, although I had the first injury, my identity was still in basketball. It still wasn't completely in him. And so I was able to be involved in several mission trips while at Belmont, because while basketball was still what was paying my way, it was being slowly chipped away from my identity. And so going on those mission trips, I was able to go with a lady named Betty Wiseman. She led all of those. And if you guys have watched any of the women's tournament this year and you watched Belmont, they did a really good run. And Betty Wiseman was straight in the center when they played UT. And she is a face of women's basketball, but she was also huge in my and Steve's faith journey. And that's really where I started seeing the grace of God and how, you know, I had placed my identity in basketball. I hadn't placed it in Jesus. And so, but still, this is something that we say in my women's Bible study, but God, right? He, through his grace, he was able to show me, no, this isn't where your identity lies. It's in me. And so through those mission trips and talks with Betty, and those identities changing to be in him, that's where I really started to see his grace work in my life. And even till now, with the grace and the identity, the concept of like the idols, as a coach's wife, and I feel like God put me with Steve for a number of reasons, but basketball coaches, it is very unpredictable. And so me, as one on the Enneagram, I like to control things. And so having him as my husband, I have to let that control go down because it's very unpredictable, have to be flexible. And so control was my idol. I still struggle with that. But having that grace from God every day that he says, you know, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to give you another chance to lay down your idol of control and come back to me. So I see that in my marriage. I also see that as a mom. We just went through a group at church talking about God's grace in our parenting. And so, you know, growing up in a household where my dad gave very little grace, and it was very much he parented it was a loving home, but he parented for us to obey, not to, you know, parent through grace. And so we have been able to take those principles of the gospel and apply them to our parenting, where we can have those conversations with the kids about the gospel and grace and why we're giving them grace, not just to let them off the hook, but because of what Jesus did for us. And so daily I fall short, but I have three ways that I feel like I can just soak in his grace and come back to him. One of them is just staying in the word daily. The other one is prayer every day or more than just every day. And then the third one is just worship music. I love it, and I feel like it brings me and Jesus really close. And one of the songs that I've been listening to lately, it's called The Truth I'm Standing On by Leanna Crawford. And one of the lines in it just really resonates with my story. It's, the pain had the purpose and your plan was perfect. And the truth I'm standing on. So just being in that truth and standing in that truth really helps bring it all back and remember the grace that God has given us.
Thank you. Yeah. It's funny, Brittany. We both went to Belmont. When I graduated, she came in the next year. So I'm, you know, 4 or 5 years older than she is. And I tell people that my lack of maturity, her maturity, and my age and her age, we kind of, you know, bring it to the middle there a little bit. But so kind of my story, some similarities there with identity piece. I grew up in LaPorte, Indiana, about an hour away. I was a LaPorte slicer. Still one of the, yeah, thanks. One of the best nicknames out there, I think, still. But I had a great childhood. My parents, aunts, uncles, cousins, had a lot of family in that area. We were all really close. My kind of mom's side of the family spent a lot of time with them. And really my grandparents, grandma and grandma, were kind of the spiritual leaders of our family. I can still remember my grandmother always going, you know, grew up Catholic, always going to Tuesday night rosary and praying the rosary with her, lady friends, and she was really diligent in prayer every morning, asking us all, how can I pray for you? Stefan was my name for her, you know, the Polish name. And my grandfather, just being really, he was a lifelong learner, always learning. You know, he passed when he was 88, and I can still remember, you know, his last year of just always learning, being in the Word. He had a worn-out Bible. I can remember him calling me several times on maybe a quote I shared with him or a verse, and he'd call me and, hey, what was that verse again? And where was that at? And you know, even later in his life. So I learned a lot from him, and that continued to be a lifelong learner. My parents, you know, they both grew up Catholic, and I wouldn't say, you know, like for instance, they weren't as deep in their faith. For instance, I don't ever remember praying before a meal. Don't ever remember praying with my parents or with my family. We did it at my grandparents. And so I didn't have that, deep spiritual guidance from them. As we've grown and later in life, I think they've grown in their faith a ton, and that's helped me. But didn't have kind of that background of being open in my faith. I don't think I ever shared my faith one time until I went to college. So it was kind of uncomfortable for me. I didn't have a ton of growth kind of through my childhood. Kind of when my faith kind of became my own was Fellowship of Christian Athletes in high school. I had a lot of mentors, older guys that I played basketball with that kind of built into me, helped be great models for me. We had great speakers. Dave and Lois Kreider were kind of our SCA huddle leaders. And I can remember one speaker in particular, I think it was my freshman sophomore year. It was almost like more of a social gathering. We had like over 100 student athletes, which was great, but it kind of felt like more of a social gathering. In my junior, senior year, we had some great student athlete kind of FCA leaders that kind of changed the culture of FCA. And I can remember one speaker that just shared the gospel in the most clear manner I'd ever heard it to that point, or at least I was more engaged and locked into the message than I ever had, and just spoke on who Jesus was. And it's not about religion. You know, for me, growing up in the Catholic faith, nothing wrong with the Catholic religion. I love the traditions and, you know, the sacraments of communion and confirmation and, you know, going to a priest and confession and confessing your sins. But I just didn't have that growth. And, you know, he kind of explained who Jesus was and how important it was to have a personal relationship with him, be with him in prayer, get into the word. And just from that point on, it sent me on a journey of growth and being intentional and really trying to learn, you know, who this Jesus was. And I have 7 points that I just kind of wanted to share through that time. I'm going to get a quick story about Lent. So a couple weeks ago, or about a month ago, when we got into Lent, I still kind of practice Lent. You know, when we got married, you know, I was 28 and I was Catholic up until that point, and we decided to go to a non-denominational church. That's you know, Brittany grew up non-denominational, and so kind of stepped away from the Catholic faith. But you know, I still practice Lent, and I gave up the 5 Lutheran food groups this year. My sister and I kind of came up with it: fried fruits, French fries, pop,
desserts.
Is there one more?
Candy,
yeah. But five of those kind of the lethal food groups, so trying to go on more of a health kick. And she kind of made a comment to me, it's not about the sacrifice. And as we kind of talked through that, had the conversation through that, it's not about the sacrifice and doing that and for your health and for your gain. It's for the relationship piece. So every time I kind of had a craving, and I'd even joke with her, I'm going to say a prayer, I'm growing closer to Jesus, you know. And so that's kind of the premise behind Lent and your sacrifice. It's not about you, you know, but it's about him and how you can grow closer to him. You know, when we go to church, it's not about, you know, us going to church and being fed. It's about going to church and worshiping and honoring him. We don't go to church for us, we go to church for him. So kind of that premise of it. But so the points here I wanted to kind of talk about, the first one was identity. And Brittany kind of spoke on that point a little bit. My identity growing up was so much in my performance. I played sports, was an athlete. It was so important to me. It was my idol in a lot of ways. If I performed well, if our team won, things were great. I was happy. If they didn't go well, if we didn't win, I didn't play well, I was, you know, down and out. And so just really learning my identity is not in my performance, my reputation, my circumstances, but it's in my joy in Christ and what he's done for me. So the identity piece was really huge for me. The relationship piece, I kind of spoke to that a little bit. You know, it's not about religion. It's not about earning my way into heaven, earning my way with Christ. You know, it's about that relationship. You know, I learned repentance, belief in him. I learned to trust in him and to follow him each day. So the relationship piece was really important for me. I think the next point is voices. You know, we're indoctrinated with a lot of voices in our ears, and just from movies to social media is a tough one. You know, our friends, the culture we live in, our society, you know, just teaches us so much about ego and what can, you know, your team or job or spouse can do for you, as opposed to what you can do for God and what you can do for others. And so the voices, you know, for me, before I receive Christ in my heart, I struggle with these things: jealousy, comparison, bitterness, lust, pride, insignificance, greed, envy, resentment. That was before I decided to follow Christ. After I decided to follow Christ, here's what I struggle with: resentment, envy, greed, comparison, bitterness, lust, pride, jealousy. So, but the difference is surrender. You know, you're still going to struggle through those things. And when I kind of, you know, started my journey with that speaker and kind of what he shared with me, it didn't mean everything was going to go perfect and circumstances and outcomes and performances were going to be good. You're still going to struggle. You're still going to, like Brittany talked about, you're still going to struggle with all these things. But you got him to help guide you, lead you. You know, it's important to put on the full armor of God so that you can stave away from the devil. You know, the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy, always. So it's so important to stay in the Word, like Brittany mentioned. Faith and works. I really dove into that faith and works growing up, you know, kind of in the environment I did and you know, with the Catholic faith. For me, I felt that, you know, I needed to do good works to earn favor. I needed to do good works to get to heaven. And that's not it at all. After that point, you know, I do good works because I already have favor. And such a huge difference. You know, you don't do good works to earn favor. You do good works because you already have favor. And for me, that was such a light bulb that went off and a different perspective and mentality that gave me. And I just had so much more joy. You know, a lot of these chapel talks that we've listened to throughout the year, you know, I keep coming back to the word joy. You know, happiness is up and down. It's a roller coaster. You're good one day, not so good the next. But joy, if you have that constant joy in Christ, he's always there for you. And that's what it's all about. Faith in Jesus. I think our society, it's hard to just focus on him and focus on faith in him. You know, me growing up, man, it was my dad. It was, you know, the guy, my dad was a basketball coach. It was the players that he coached. I idolized those guys. You know, my favorite basketball players, Michael Jordan, John Stockton, you know, down the line. Idolized those guys. Those were my idols, man. I looked up to them. And any time, you know, as I, you know, grew in my faith, somebody messed up or did something they weren't supposed to or sinned or, man, it just broke me. And it's so important to not put your faith in people. Don't put your faith in Christians. You got to put it in him. You know, when you compare yourself to others, when you compare others to, you know, even Christians to the standard, you're going to fall short every time. I tell our players, don't put your faith in me. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, broken, just like anyone else. Put your faith in him. Concentrate on him, and you know, your life will, your faith in your life will be way better. Prayer. For me, as I learned to pray, you know, again, growing up, I did not pray a whole lot. You know, before I went to bed, I'd say a little prayer. And we had a lot of regimented prayers in the Catholic faith, but I never really prayed out on my own or prayed with people. Mark Batterson's book, The Circle Maker, read that a few years back. Phenomenal book on prayer. And I love the prayer initiative Bethel is kind of going through right now. I'd encourage you guys to dive in and get with certain groups who are praying on certain aspects of Bethel. But I love the premise of the book, The Circle Maker. Work as though it depends on you, but pray as though it depends on God. You know, work as though it depends on you. Pray as though it depends on God. You need both. You need to put the work in with him in prayer and getting into the word. As you draw nearer to him, he'll draw nearer to you. And then whatever you do, whether it's, you know, play a sport, you know, your academics here, the chapel team, you know, anything you do, work as though it's depending on you, but pray as though he's guiding you and he's helping you. We did a study on manhood about 5-6 years ago. I was assistant coach at Lipscomb University in Nashville, and we had a guy come in, about a 7-8 week study on just what it means to be a man. And the premise was kind of on four things, biblically, what it means to be a man. Rejecting passivity, accepting responsibility, leading courageously, and giving God all the glory. And as we went through that talk, the guy leading it kind of talked on fatherhood and just kind of leading your children, leading your sons especially, through manhood, through what it means to be a man. And I can remember feeling so much kind of pain and hurt because in a lot of ways, I had a great father, don't get me wrong. He was phenomenal, loved me, but just didn't guide me through those spiritual steps. You know, didn't talk to me about sex, drugs, alcohol, a lot of other topics, that you go through, growing up, the temptations of those things. And I can remember feeling just kind of down about that because every boy needs approval, acceptance, and affirmation from their dads. And I can remember I wrote my dad a letter and just kind of shared a lot of those feelings. And we had some conversations about it. And it was a tremendous period of growth for my father and I in both of our faiths. And so, you men, just encourage you guys to be in the Word and to practice those four things of rejecting passivity, accepting responsibility, leading courageously, and then giving God all the glory at the end of the day. Why coach? Love coaching, love the game of basketball, love competing. But for me, like it mentioned in the film, is I want to help young men grow in empathy and integrity, giving God all the glory at the end of the day. Billy Graham said it best, coaches impact more people in 1 year than the average person does in a lifetime. You have such an impact, as teachers, as coaches, of impacting young people, especially at this age. And so it's a great privilege for me. I'm honored and humbled to be at Bethel and to coach our guys and to be in this community. Our head coach at Lipscomb, we had a mission trip over Dominican Republic, and we each shared our testimony. It's supposed to be in 2.5-3 minutes each, which is super quick. And we were up there for about 3 hours, and our head coach was the last one to go. And he shared for about 20 minutes, and our players were on the edge of their seats, just on his every word, and just the platform that he had. Again, you can have it as players, you can have it as assistant coaches, but just that platform as a head coach to share his vulnerability, share his heart, share where he struggled. I hope I'm that for our players, where I can be vulnerable and share and transparent. And so another reason why I wanted to be a head coach. My wife, to talk about her briefly here, it's so important. I remember Gordon Polesgrove, the father of one of our assistants, Scott Polesgrove, grandfather to Drew Polesgrove, Mark Polesgrove on our staff. Polesgrove Nation is all over Bethel men's basketball. But Gordon Polesgrove would always ask so many good questions that just forced you to think. And I can remember one time we were dating during this time, 12 years ago or so, and I remember coming back from a trip to see Brittany, and I was talking to Gordon. He was helping our staff out at the time, and so we were talking recruiting, and he asked, why Brittany? I thought, okay, never thought about that at that time. I'm just trying to get to know this young lady. And for me, as I thought about it, she brought great value to me. She shares similar values that I have in the faith. She encourages me, yet challenges me. There's a couple of TV shows that I enjoy watching that every time she walks in the room, she'll make a comment. What are you doing watching the show? This is not, those things are so good. It convicts me in a lot of ways, and she makes me better at the end of the day and helps me grow as a man in my faith. And then the last thing I want to share is the biggest area of growth for me, one of the biggest areas, was when we had children. When you have children, things change. You saw the four kids up there, 8, 6, 4, and 2. Another reason why I wanted her to come up here with me, because we don't have kids hanging all over us. It's nice to be able to do something together without the young ones. I love them, but they can be a bit much. And when you have children, the love that you have for them, it's maybe as close as you get to understanding the love that Christ has for us. And that was a huge thing for me, to feel that love I have for them. And man, it's not even close. It's not even close to the love that he has for us. So let's pray. Father God, we love you, and we just thank you so much for your many blessings upon us. Thank you for your presence in our life, for that's when we're at our best. And this Holy Week, help us to renew our faith in you and to seek you more each and every day. Help us to grow closer in relationship with you. Help us to decrease. Help you to increase. Pray for a Good Friday coming up and what happened on that day. As tough as it is, Lord, Sunday's a coming, and we're so thankful for that. Bless this community. Guide them, guard them, direct them. We ask this all in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.